Even though the, I mean, I don't know what her story is, but I would definitely love to interview her just to showcase both sides, because you will be considered what we call the golden child, the child that is loved and favored and gets everything that they want, while versus she probably didn't get it. And because she's older, probably started having issues with her mom, your mom, prior to you even coming on board. Maybe you connected with your child, I mean, with your mom. You probably did connected with your mom. But for her, maybe that connection is not there or wasn't there. And so that kind of created a difficult things. And her experiences are valid, believe it or not.
Very valid, very valid, very valid.
They're very valid. And I hope that no one dismisses her, because the more is dismissed, the angrier she will become, the more patient she will appear.
So what we did was, after we prayed, we all I asked my sister to forgive me, because she had this inner sibling hatred for me, okay? And so she would never tell me anything about herself, and she used to hide. Maybe she was just very angry with me. And for me, I picked that as a vital lesson. Now I have four kids. Trust me, as a mom, I do not praise any of my, like, if I needed to say thank you to the first child, I call everybody's name.
Women, mainly, because this is my background, that have experienced traumatic events from their mothers, whether it is non-existent, toxic relationship with their mothers, or just didn't have one. And so they had to learn how to be a woman. They had to learn how to just survive in life, how to maneuver in life. So my platform, the mission is truly, if I can just get women to just access their own healing, you know, to just tap into it and start the healing process. So I like to give them inspirational stories here and there. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Who is Martina?
Okay, so my name is Martina Ononiwu, and I am a business growth and a digital marketing strategist. I'm a Nigerian, but I'm based in Paris. But before I came to Paris, I lived in Asia for 10 years. And I'm living in Paris for 7 years now. So it's been 17 years away from Africa, but I go back home from time to time. I'm the last of four child. I have two sisters, and I had a brother, but I just lost my brother. So I just have my two sisters left. I used to have a mother, but I don't have that mother anymore. I don't have my father anymore. So it's just me, my two sisters, and our kids. And that's all about my world. Okay, of course, I'm the father of my kids as well. And so that's basically, and my loved ones, my friends who love me. And that's my little space. It's little, but very, how do I put it? Very personal and loving.
So you had lost your parents when you first, you lost your dad, right? When you were very young, correct? And then you lost your mom, I believe, at teenage years.
Not really teenage years. Like in my 20s, my early 20s.
Early 20s. So you had that gap. What was it like when you, because you were young when you lost your dad. So you kind of
like 6 months old. I was a baby. I was like 6 months old baby. Yeah.
So you grew up not knowing that. So
no,
that wasn't. But then what happened when you lost your mom? What was that like for you?
I remember, so I'm like the last one, like I said to you, and my mom, I'm the closest of my mom. I look exactly like my mom. And when she died, it was difficult for anyone to tell me. So my mom had died like a month before anybody. In fact, they didn't tell me. It was a relation of mine or like a family friend of mine who broke the news to me through Facebook, thinking that I had heard, because it took them, they didn't know how they could tell me. Nobody knew. They were like, how are they going to tell, because they call me Princess. And so my family was, how will we tell Princess without her breaking down with the kids and everything, and she's all by herself in France, you know? So nobody had the guts to tell me. And because she was ill for a while, whenever I called, I used to call every day. So when I call, I'll say, how is mom, since she was in coma? Of course, I couldn't speak with her. I'd say, oh, she's fine. And then they will tell me, oh, do you know she's moving her feet because of you? And that gave me hope, like, okay, so I better call every other day, you know? And so I was just coming back from work. Then I was working with Nissan. I was coming back from work. I was in the train. And a family friend of mine just said, oh, hi, Princess. How are you doing? I feel so bad. I don't know how you're taking it. I'm sure you must be very devastated. And, you know, you can just, I already started sensing that there must be something wrong, you know? And okay, so usually when I would call, I would put the phone, I'll say, okay, put the phone by her ears, you know? Mm-hmm. And then this time they'll just tell me, no, don't worry, go about your work and everything. Everything is going to be okay. So I could sense that they stopped allowing me to do all of those stuff. So when he sent that message and everything, he just said, oh, I know how you'll be taking it, but just take it easy and everything. I just said, something must be wrong. I'm like, okay, what are you talking about? And he says, oh, your mom's dead. I screamed inside of the train. I screamed, and then the train came to a halt because they thought something had happened, you know. I screamed, I was crying, you know. And so I didn't even know how to forgive my siblings for not telling me. So I was crying for days. I was crying for days, literally, until the father of my kids came. So they wanted him to come and tell me that message so that he could be by my side. And so I switched off my phone. I had a friend come take my kids, and it was like a blow because my mom was like my life. You know, I saw her go through a lot of things. I still had so many things that I had promised her that I was going to do, you know, and I haven't done. I've done quite a few things, but not like how I wanted. Like, you know, so I cried. So many things went. It was, to be honest with you, for like another 3 years, I didn't get over it. I'm just beginning to finally, you know, like settle in into the fact that, okay, you don't have her anymore. Every time when I needed something, I'll just think about her. I had the pictures with me everywhere. You know, it's so difficult it's not a nice feeling. It's not a nice feeling because I'm like, all the things I really wanted to do for her, I used to tell her, mom, don't worry, I'll build a mansion for you. I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, and I'm like, well, I didn't even do this mansion thing. What happened? You know, it was devastating. I'll tell you, it was very hard to take in. Mm. But I thank God. God is giving me the grace that is needed, and we're coping each day.
Okay. So when your mom passed away, and you had to now scramble to put your life back together, what was that like, missing that parental aspect, that motherly aspect in your life? How did that show up in your life?
So for me, it took me a while to get over the fact that my mom had gone. So it's not like maybe I needed her for an immediate advice or something, but the fact that, okay, like I would call her all the time. She would call me all the time. What are you wearing? Show me your kitchen. What is the color of your bra? Let me see you know, she would do stuff like this every other day. It was, to be honest with you, I don't know how one is able to get past that feeling, but it really, really shook me. It really, really shook me. And it also shook my kids as well, because my kids were only just, you know, trying to beginning to know her. I mean, like the first two, they were only just beginning to know her. They had met her once, and even until now, they cry once in a while, like watching grandma's photographs of grandma, some videos that we made when we were children, how my mom used to talk and everything. So it was just recently, just last month, we did all of this, you know. And this is how difficult it is, and even for my kids as well, even though they don't really know her.
Yeah. Wow. I love the fact that you had a very healthy relationship with your mom.
Yes.
And that also spilled over to her and your kids.
Yes. Yes.
And she was like a mentor to you, a supporter.
Yeah.
Very excited about your vision.
Yes, she was.
She was a mommy to you.
Yes, she really was. She really was.
I'm happy to hear that, because I also want to expose my audience that even though we may have grown up with mothers that rejected us, that there are very good mothers out there. A lot of mommies that love their children. They're not jealous of their children. They want to be supportive. Yeah. They want to encourage them. They want to do everything they can to uplift them so that they can thrive. So I appreciate you sharing that with my audience so that they can see. If they didn't get it, they can possibly have that with their children. Just an example of what it's like to be a great mom.
Yeah, true. And I must quickly add, okay, sometimes for me, this is my experience, but to be honest with you, my immediate elder sister thinks otherwise. You know, if you were to do this interview with my immediate elder sister, she would say to you that my mom wasn't really loving to her. And it's that same mother that we have. She has her own talk show, The Favored One, where she's explaining to teenagers how parents aren't really nice to them. And her own experiences, I think, her personal experiences, it's so funny. For instance, let me give you an instance. She would say stories of how my mom used to favor me because I was the last child. And one of the very distinctive examples she always gave was when we were in high school, I would come to my mom, and for me, I'm a people's person, okay? So my mom was a widow, and I knew that as a widow, getting stuff for us would be difficult. And so let's say, for instance, I needed like maybe $100 from my mom. I was that kind of child who would go to my mom and say, "Mom, I need $100, but whatever you have right now, start giving it to me. Like, I don't mind. I'll take $2 from you. I'll take $5 from you till it gets to 100. On the other side, my immediate elder sister wants everything tip-top, lemon squishy. She wants her 100, exactly 100. When you have 100, give it to me. For me, I knew that it was going to be very stressful for her. I don't know how I knew, but as a child, I just knew one of the things I didn't want my mother to go through was going through stress on my account. And so by the time I would take my monies like in bits, $2, $3, $5, $10, I'll say, "Oh, mom, you have $20. Just give me $5 there. So I know that my balance is $7. You will not believe it, okay? Before I was ready to go back to school, my mom would have given me maybe $150. And then my sister, when she was ready to go back to school, maybe my mom didn't have all of the monies complete. And so she would give my sister maybe $60. Of course, we are kids. And then me as a small one with the big mouth, I'd go, "Do you know, my mom ended up giving me $150 instead of $100. I never knew until when we were doing the remembrance and we went to a prayer house to pray, I never knew that was a problem for my sister. And that made her hate my mom. It made her hate me as well, you know, and I didn't know this. And so I would just go to my sister and say, "Oh, do you know, my mom just gave me some money." Meanwhile, she had asked my mom for money. I don't know if it's the way I do it, or maybe my mom really, but I don't want to imagine that my mom loved me more than her. But this is her own narrative. So within the same family, we don't have the same stories. So I have the story of where my mom loves me and she's all sweet to me. My sister can categorically, like if you were going to do this video between the both of us, would have been arguing. She said, "Oh no, this action for me, it was very bad. Oh, this action for me." And And so you might even interview her one day in life, and we're talking about the same woman, but we have different experiences. So, I mean, this is something that I needed to quickly tell you so that your viewers also know that sometimes it might not be that maybe the mother isn't really loving, or maybe it's just a particular child's experience towards that mother, or not knowing how to really work with the mother. I just don't know why, but I needed to just put this one out here for you.
So is your sister the first child?
No, she's actually not the first. She's like the third child. Okay. So it's like the middle child. You know, middle children always feel like they're different. You know, so she's the middle child. And okay, so she would say things like, oh, my mom loved the first one because she's the first. Now my mom loved the boy because he's the only boy. And then she loves me because I'm the last. But nobody cared about her. But her personality also doesn't worry, because she's in a certain way. She wants things done in a certain way. And so I just feel, you know, I can't judge her, and then I'm not in her shoes, but I just feel like we're two children from the same mom, but we have totally different experiences on all levels. Mm-hmm. Another instance, let me give you another example. So when I gave birth to my first child, my mom came to stay with me for a year. But when she gave birth to her own child, my mom didn't go anywhere. As in, my mom, like, I'm not going to anybody's house. If you want me to take care of your child, bring your child to my house. So my sister also got offended for that. But guess what? Who doesn't want to go overseas? I mean, like, if you're a mom, I don't have anybody helping you overseas. So it's a matter of the positioning. I don't know how to put it, but these were the things that she held against my mom.
So seriously. Did she live in Nigeria with your mom?
Yes, my sister was living in Nigeria. She was living in Nigeria, but I was living in Asia. But my mom came to Asia and stayed for... So my sister's example is, why can't you come to me? I'm in Nigeria with you. I'm a stone throw away from where you are. Why couldn't you come for even a day or 2 days to stay with me? But you could take your bags and then you could fly overseas and then stay there for like a year. But in my mom's defense, I don't have anybody in Asia. I'm all by myself. I've never had any siblings, any relations, anywhere where I have lived. So at that time, and then I'm a small child to her, I really needed someone to be by my side. So I'm thinking that's where she's coming from. And then the way that I would have done it as well, you know, maybe I'm crying and say, mommy, you have to come. If you don't come, I don't know how I'll cope with my child. So let me just put it in a way that I was very manipulative in a way of my mom. And I knew how to get her to do things that my sister didn't know how to do. I think it's from that angle. But I don't want to believe that she did not love her, because she gave her the same education that she gave to me, and even better, you know. So, I mean.
I know. It can be tough sometimes, even though I don't know what her story is, but I would definitely love to interview her just to showcase both sides, because you will be considered what we call the golden child, the child that is loved and favored and gets everything that they want, while versus she probably didn't get it. And because she's older, at an earlier time, I guess, she probably started having issues with her mom, your mom, prior to you even coming on board. Sometimes it can happen that way. And it's, you know, as a parent yourself, it's something for you to kind of keep in mind, because yes, when you are a parent, you know, maybe you connected with your child, I mean, with your mom. You probably did connected with your mom, because you said you kind of felt like you didn't want to stress her. You kind of felt some type of way. So maybe you connected with her. Maybe that's where it came from. But for her, maybe that connection is not there or wasn't there. And so that kind of created a difficult thing. And her experiences are valid, believe it or not.
Very valid.
They're very valid. And I hope that no one dismisses her, because the more is dismissed, the angrier she will become, the more patient she
will. So what we did was, after we prayed, I asked my sister to forgive me, because she had this inner sibling hatred for me, okay? And so she would never tell me anything about herself, and she used to hide. Maybe she was just very angry with me. And because of that experience, trust me, immediately she told me, I apologized to her, I said, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't know you felt this way, I didn't mean to hurt you, I never rubbed anything in your face, you know. And for me, I picked that as a vital lesson. Now I have four kids. Trust me, as a mom, I do not praise any of my, like, if I needed to say thank you to the first child, I call everybody's name. I'll say, okay, so thank you, Shamin, for helping me sweep. Thank you, Siobhan, because you're her sister. Thank you, Jael and Jenny, because you're the smaller sisters as well. So I say thank you to the four of them at the same time. When I say God bless you, it's the four of them. I never do anything for one person. I'm doing it for the four people at the same time, all the days after my sister said that to me, because I knew how hurtful, because it was very hurtful to her. She didn't even contribute anything towards my mom's burial, because she held this. She says, oh, you're the love child, so you do the burial. You do all the things now. It's your time. And thank God I had the ability to do it, okay? But I couldn't place my hand as to, excuse me, why are you doing this now? Until we went to the prayer house and she explained how she really felt. And then hearing her audios and her speaking with people, I'm now beginning to understand that, look, this was a real issue for this child. You know, this was really deep for her and we need to acknowledge it. And so I acknowledge it and I apologize to her, and I've learned from that experience and I want to be a better mom to my own children. So that's what I've been doing since then.
That is awesome. I applaud you for that, for even taking ownership and accountability and deciding to say, you know what, her experiences with my mother are real. Because sometimes when we have kids, I can tell you with my son, I'm just so grateful that I've learned so much. Because if I haven't decided to heal and change my life, I probably would have hurt him. And he was the first, when I had him, in the early years, I really didn't know what I was doing. And so, especially with me not having the role model of what it is to be a mom, I made a lot of mistakes with my son. And I guarantee you, my next child, I will make those same mistakes. I mean, there'll probably be a new set of mistakes. You know, so sometimes as a mom, which a lot of moms fail to acknowledge, is that we can be different.
Sure.
Because as we get older, we learn.
True.
And sometimes you just connect with the child. It's not something that you mean to. Sometimes it's genuine. True. But you have to own it in order for healing, for growth to occur between you and your child. Because if you don't do that, guess what? It's just going to create a bigger bridge, a wedge just going to be even more separated. But for my audience, they have similar stories like that, but they also have stories where the moms were just evil. Just evil, mean, cruel, just neglectful, abusive, you know, like your mom. That probably, you know, I can't speak, I don't really know what the situation was, but it probably was an innocent mistake, maybe.
It was innocent. Right.
But for her, it was a real experience. But for some other mothers, they truly inflict pain, abuse, awful things on their kids. And it can just turn out to be something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really. So let me say something to you. I was trying to tell you, because you said some of the parents were mean, and I'm saying, even though my experiences were loving, I still had some bitter experiences from my mom. I went to school for my lesson, like my extracurriculum ECA activities. I saw a chewing gum. I don't know what was wrong with me that day. I saw a chewing gum in someone's locker in school. I took that, not knowing someone had seen me. I went home, and I'm not someone who tells lies. You know, I didn't grow up telling a lie. And so my mom asked me, okay, so there are certain things we're not allowed to eat, like chewing gum, so many things. So for me, in order to eat that chewing gum, I needed to give my mom. My mom and my aunt were at home. And then I said, oh, someone did the party in the school. You know how African schools are. You could do your birthday parties in school. And then I gave my mom, and my mom gave me one. It used to be one kind of spring chewing gum. It's very like minty kind of chewing gum. And there's like 10 piece inside. And she gives me one and says, okay, take it. You're very nice for bringing it back home. Mm-hmm. I went out. My friend and I, we ate the biscuit. Unfortunately for me, my school people came to my house and busted me in my house. All the little children, just imagine like 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds with sharp mouth. Ah, we're going to your house. You know, usually back then, your house is always like maybe 1 meter away or less than 100 meters away from the house. So everybody knows everybody's house. And then they went straight to my mom. Hi, mom. We came to tell you something. Martina stole a chewing gum. Because someone saw Martina stealing the chewing gum. And my mom is like, okay, really? And she calls me, Martina. And then she calls all my full names. When African moms are angry, they call all of your full names. And so I came to her and she said, I thought you said someone did a party in your school. Where did you get the chewing gum? And you know, small kids, everybody, don't tell a lie. Someone saw you, Bayo saw you. You took it from Lucia's drawer. You took it from her locker. And so, since I'm not a child that tells her, I said, Mommy, I'm sorry. I'm so quick to say sorry. I said, Mommy, I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. I started crying. You know, my mom said, it's okay, thinking it was really okay. She says, okay, don't worry, go and play. And then I went to play. Now, growing up in Africa, we used to have a particular food that we eat in a certain day. In the afternoons, we had a particular food. Some certain days, we had a kind of special food. And that day was on a Wednesday where we eat a special food like plantain porridge. And this was one of my favorite food. I got back from my playtime thinking I was going to be eating my dinner, you know. And the nanny in the house says, no dinner for you. Okay, not really nanny, but like all these distant relations that are living with you, no dinner for you. I'm like, okay, it's just no dinner. I can always go to my brother and he'll share with me. I didn't know that my mom had grounded the habanero pepper. She had ordered for them to grind it, and they grinded it, and my mom called me, Martina! And then I came to her, and she says, okay, so you are started stealing, eh? You want people to know that you don't have a father. You want people to think that you're from a poor home and you're not content, you're covetous. Today, I'll show you covetousness is a sin. My mom ties me up, opens my vagina, and puts this habanero pepper inside of it, like inside. She's sticking her fingers inside of it with the habanero pepper, and I'm shouting, the smaller ones that are very spicy, and I'm shouting, she says, next time in your life, do not take something that doesn't belong. Don't even think it. Don't admire it. Don't go near something that is not yours. Honestly, I was 6 years old. I was a 6-year-old child, and it was one of our family friends. We used to call him manager. He was the one who saved me that day, because this was one of the ways that she would punish me. Another way my mom wanted to punish you was to put the tear gas, because she was a police officer. And so she used to have her gun, the pepper spray, the tear gas. Another time I took like a bottle of drinks. She wanted to give it to someone. I wanted to taste it, myself and my sister. Now, so these are some of the things I would tell my sister, but my mom didn't do that to you. She did that to me. And so we opened the bottle and we started sipping. You know, the bottle was so big and she would push the bottle into my mouth and then I would sip it. We didn't know that as we're sipping, sip by sip every other day, the bottle was actually going down. Because it was a tinted bottle, we couldn't really see. Now, I'm telling you, like, we're little children, like 8-year-old. And then she takes the tear gas. It's like the advanced level of the pepper spray. This one's they spray, like, when you're having a riot and everything. And she sprays it in my eyes and pushed me under the bed. And in African homes, then, would have, like, rats and all this. So I've seen her being extremely nice and then extremely, and you're wondering, is this my mom? Is this that loving woman? So it's not all the sweet story. The non-sweet stories were there. And to be honest, I would say in a way, even though they were very harsh, I think that some of those things also formed my narratives. I would never do that to my children. I spank my children, but I don't hit them with stuff. And I would never think to put anything in their bum or whatever. I wouldn't even touch them. If I spank my children, it's maybe because they told a lie to me. But I will never spank them because they took something or they broke something. And we will get all of those kind of beatings. Like, you steal something, the pepper is in your bum and in your vagina. So for me, it taught me not to take people's things, not to be covetous, to be content. Every time I'm in a position of where I'm beginning to get jealous, envy, covetousness, I immediately remember all of the scenarios that has brought me problems, and immediately I turn around and change that situation for good. And it really helps me. It really, really helped me. So little things like, when I was 10 years old, it was my birthday. My mom didn't have money to celebrate or do a party, and we didn't have food that day on my birthday. And just as I was going down the staircase, we used to live in this kind of apartment. I saw my neighbor and I told her, I said, you know, today is my birthday. We don't have any food in my house, blah, blah, blah. You know, I told the lady everything. I put out all my business out there. And the woman says, okay, no problems. Come to my house and eat. I went there, I ate. And then I came back to my home. I didn't say anything. The next day, my mom didn't say thank you because I didn't say anything. And then the woman too, you know, the woman later in the evening says, madam, you're not really, really, really a nice woman. Eh? I gave your child food to eat and you didn't even think it to say thank you. My mom said, which of my child did you give something to eat? My mom beat the hell out of me. Beat like with stick, stone. My eyes were swollen for days, just because I disgraced her. So all of those things, one way or the other, even though they're negatives, they shaped us. So now I can stay without having a sense. I can stay, I don't need to be covetous. I don't need to do anything extra. I'm content with what I have. And I don't have any peer pressure. I don't feel like anyone is leaving me. You know, those things shape me. They were the negative, but they've become positive things for me. And in sharing those stories with my kids as well, I've also been able to teach them, for them not to experience it, but for them to know that these are the things that have made me become the person that I am, the mom that they see today. It's all of these things that has helped me. And so sometimes when I want to scare my children, I say, when you take something, don't bring anybody's thing, because remember what my grandmom did. There is that tendency that there is a generational pattern, and they say, no, we don't want that. I say, okay, so remember, don't bring things from home. Don't take people's things. So to be honest with you, just the singular story in itself puts my kids in fear. And so even when you give them things when I'm not around, they never ever have the guts to eat it. They bring it back home. Like I'm saying to you, it's not all the sweet stories. I have this side of this kind of stories, and there are a lot of stories that I could share, but these are just a few of some of the harsh things that were done as well.
Despite all of that that transpired in the relationship with you and your mother, you seem to have a very healthy view of her. Where did that come from? Because a lot of people wouldn't. Because that's, I mean, having a swollen eye and having, back home in Sierra Leone, what they would do is they will put the pepper, the hot pepper, all over your body and then put you to stand on the sun. You know, that's another way that they would do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is very traumatizing to a child. It's very traumatizing.
Yeah.
And for you to come out of it and have a different, like, how did the relationship turn? Help me understand here. How did it, your perception changed of her?
Okay. So for me as a person, naturally, I'm someone who is very forgiving, naturally. Mm-hmm. And because I have the fear of God, I try as much as possible. Nobody can be perfect, but I try my best to do the things that God says that we should do. One of such is loving people, loving those who are wicked to you, who are bad to you. You find a way to love them. And then for me, this is one of the things that had given me the strength. Just, you know what, you don't have a choice here. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be in right standing with God, you have to forgive people. So for me, I'd rather forgive you than to not be in the good books of God. Because remember, okay, for me as a person, I didn't have my physical father, but I had God as a literary physical father. No jokes. Yeah. So the way that people would see God was different from the way that I saw God. I used to see God like he's my physical father. And so I even talked to him like a physical, even up until now, when my kids tell something, I say, okay, go to God, go and ask him. If he says okay, he'll provide it. So for me, okay, I even say I'm God's favorite baby, and people don't understand it. I would just literally talk to God like he was my father. And I think that that's one of the most important things that has helped me through life. And even now that as I am, you see, I don't see my sins, my worry. I just know this is my father. I can go to him. I can talk to him. I can tell him anything. And so at all times, more than anything else, I fear my father. So when people say, oh, my father will do this, for me, that's the image of God. I don't want to, as much as I can, I don't want to upset God. I don't want him to be angry with me. On that note, if I have to forgive you against my will, I do that. If I have to be kind to you unnecessarily, I'll do that. Just because I want to be pleasing to my father. And so that's what gave me the ability to forgive everything that has happened. The good sides were better than the bad side. And so I choose to stick to the good side.
That is awesome that you even, I don't know how you do it. I don't, you know, like, I don't know if it's because of your relationship that you have with God that just strengthens you and it gives you like peace.
That's
it. You become so forgiven. A lot of people will probably not know how to do that, even though, again, your mom probably was raised like that. I don't know what her relationship with her, how she was with her mother. Maybe that's how her mother treated her, and she thought that that was normal.
My mom never used to tell us tales about her mom, per se. Maybe her dad, yeah, once in a while, stories of the world once in a while, but relationships-wise, not really. But I can say to you, knowing the things that I know now, there's definitely that generational pattern in terms of behavior. And so if we don't consciously decide that we do not want those patterns, you see yourself repeating the cycle. So I won't be surprised if they did that to her, and that's what she knows. All right. And then of course, with every of the things that was happening around her, people were being very mean to her. So for me, it would have been like a way of her, you know, when you can't handle something, you just behave in the situation of where you see things happening around you. So for me, everything, I always tell people, my goal is to be better than my parents. It's our duty to be better than our parents. And so everything that my mother did in the negative, I want to do it positively. For me, it's very important. And secondly, or firstly, it was my relationship with God, or it's my relationship with God that has been my guiding precepts. I don't know if I didn't have God, what kind of person I would have been. I've only had God for the longest. He's the longest friend and person that I've ever had in my life. He's the one person that doesn't fail me. He's always there when I need him. And I don't say it like how people say it. I mean it like legitly. I feel the most comfortable going to him. Not because he's God, but I'm saying him like, this is my father. I need to talk to him. He has the ability to help me to do whatever. You need to see when I'm praying. You'll laugh. It's like I'm talking to him like, I'm like, God, well done, eh? You did well. Thank you for embarrassing me. Thank you that I don't have money today. When you are the God that has... Okay, so it's so funny like that. But that's what I know. And that's what has worked for me. And I don't know what to say. That's what has worked for me.
I love that. I love that. I'm so happy to know that someone else has a similar relationship that I have with God, because, you know, and I'm trying to even get better to, you know, I wish I would be like, oh, like, I can just, I never, like, when you say, I feel like he's my father, I can just go and just talk to him like that. My perception is not really like that, but I do fear him. I do love him. I do strive to have a relationship with him, my heavenly father, but I just never thought about it like, well, wait a minute, he's my father, he's my God. Like, he's always gonna be there. He's always gonna protect me. And the truth of the matter is, he has never, ever failed me. And I always would say to people, you guys have no idea how much God loves me. Like, I'm like,
I say that as well.
You know, because of the things that he has done and he keeps doing in my life. So I just, I love that. I love that. I think that you will bring light and a little bit of maybe some comfort to some people that are still struggling.
Yeah.
If their moms are willing to mend a relationship and they're willing to take ownership and be accountable and loving and create a healthy relationship together.
Let me say something. I don't agree with you leaving it to their mom. If you remember what I said, it's our duty, it's you, it's our responsibility to decide that we must be better than our mom. I listened to Oprah, she said a few days before her mom died, she made the choice. Now, I've always known this even before I saw that, but I'm using that because most people can relate to Oprah. She had a bitter experience with her mom, but a few days before her mom died, she made the decision by herself to forgive her. And so she was on a flight to somewhere. I don't remember all the details, but I know she went back and forth. She didn't have that inner peace. And she says, you know what? I'm going to forgive this person. She went to her mom. She called someone up, who's a pastor or something, or a family relation, and says, pray for us or sing me a song. And she says, Mom, I forgive you. It's your duty. It's our responsibility to be better than our parents. You make the decision to say, you know what? My mom was wicked. She was hurtful. She was like this to me. But I choose to be better than she was. And so you are the one who goes there to forgive her. Whether she wants it or she doesn't want it, you do it anyway, because it will bring you so much inner peace. And for some of our parents, because it's their narratives, they don't know any better. They don't even think they've done something wrong. You'd be shocked that you go and say, oh, Mom, I forgive you. And she's like, forgive me for what? She doesn't even know the detriment. And that's what happens when people hurt you. They don't know the detriment to how their words, their actions, their deed, how it has affected you. It's up to you, because it's you that is hurting. It's up to you to say, I forgive this person. I choose to remove this person in my heart. And if you don't forgive the person, spiritually, you are not helping yourself. You can't grow. You can't move forward. It looks like you're stuck. For me, I want to move forward. I want everything to be freeing off me. And so I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive whatever it is. I want to apologize. If I think that you're hurting on my accord, I want to say sorry so I can move on. The moment you put it in your mind that I want to revenge, I want this person to feel the pains that I've felt, you will not be able to pass your message across. For some reason, the person won't be able to resonate with that pain. But when you go and you forgive that person, when you decide to forgive, God gives you the grace to be able to heal. And God gives that person the grace to be able to be remorseful. Because for people who are hurting, all they want to hear is, I'm sorry, forgive me. This is what they really want to hear the most, forgive me. And in order for one to come to the point where he can say, forgive me, the Spirit of God has to touch that person. It's not what you do. If you like, be revengeful. If you like, don't speak with your mother for 50 years and all your life. If you like, don't forgive her. If you like, never let your grandkids go near her. All of those things will not help her realize that she has hurt you. Only the Spirit of God. And for you to make the Spirit of God to move in your favor, you also have to move. You have to show that you're willing to do what God says you should do. One of such is loving those who have not been nice to you. And so this is what I can say.
That is true. That is absolutely true. And that worked out in your favor. But yeah. For a lot of us, it actually doesn't. As a matter of fact, a lot of people that try so hard to establish or maintain or continue a relationship with their mothers, they end up being more hurt than the last time they went. And they make so many efforts. I can tell you from just some of the stories that I've gotten from people that have told me their personal stories, but specifically from me. My mother did not want anything to do with me because, one, she had me in the context of shame. When she was pregnant with me, she we have what they call O-level. I don't know if you guys do that.
Yeah, I do. We do that, yeah.
She just did O-level, and then she got pregnant with me. She was like 18, 19 years old. She was 19 when she had me. So she was pregnant at 18. And the family was submerged into tremendous shame. My grandfather was like this big guy in the country, and he was in politics, and here comes his child pregnant. These are the narratives that I've been told. So it was my birth created so much problems to the point that my mother only sees me as that. She's not able to connect with me. She's not able to maintain a relationship with me, no matter how much I try, even when she was sick. Because in Africa, they say, oh, you gotta be with them. You gotta maintain them. You gotta, you know, the narrative in Africa is that our parents are always gonna be our parents. So you have to always be with them. But what happens is when you are constantly surrendering yourself to toxicity, it prevents you from thriving, it prevents you from being successful, it prevents you from being healthy from the inside out. And it's just, when you're around someone that calls you ugly, or you're around someone that tells you you're not good enough, or you're around someone that's constantly belittling you, constantly making you feel awful for just being alive, at some point, you have to go no contact. Okay, and going no contact doesn't mean that you don't forgive the person.
Exactly.
I have forgiven my mother.
That's what I wanted to say. Now, that you forgive doesn't mean that you have to be in contact with them. In fact, if it's a toxic relationship, you need to give that person a lot of space. Yeah. But some people say they forgive them, but they really haven't forgiven. And this is the point, that is different from what I've said in terms of my experience with what other people are going through. Now, for me, if somebody hurts me or I'm in a physical situation, but recently I've had something in that sort, I've forgiven the person, but I have made the decision, this person is not healthy for me. This person is not healthy in my space. And so I compulsorily give you that space. I speak with you so that my spirit can move on, so I can be productive. But in terms of repeating the cycle of what has made us get to the level where we've gone to, it won't happen anymore. So for instance, if I were my sister, I won't hate so much to the point that when the person dies, I cannot contribute for the person. No. For me, you're toxic. Okay, you're my mom, you're so bad, whatever, you don't want me, you see me as trouble, I forgive you, I release you, go. I won't go out of my way to find you, but if you come my way, I will be loving to you. I will do what I need to do for you, but I will not go out of my way. If once in a while, for some reason, your grandkids want to talk to you, I would give them that access. The thing that a lot of people do that doesn't go well with God is, when they're hurting, they engineer other people around them to hurt, to hate the same person that they hate, which is not good. And so I can guarantee you, unknown to you, your son might not be close to your mom. Whereas if you had let it be on his own, some days he might want to see his grandmom, or he might want to say hello. I'm not talking particularly in your condition. I'm just generalizing. Sometimes you don't make other people, okay, feel the same way that you feel concerning someone, because that person might not be that way to the other person. These things called reactions, you'll be very surprised. Your mom might just speak to your son for the first time, and he'll ask her a very flimsy question like,
grandma, why were you wicked to mommy? Is that how you're going to be to me? And she doesn't have a choice. She needs to answer because she's talking to a child. You will see that something makes her remorseful to be different. If not for anything, maybe not the first day, but the second day, the third day, there comes a point where that person will realize, okay, maybe I'm just being somehow, okay? And so you don't push things, okay? You forgive, but you let the person be. Being open to whenever the person is ready, but you don't go out of your way to, some people are hurting and they will go out of their way to want to see that person hurt so badly, like they're hurting. They'll instigate everybody around them to hurt, and people don't behave the same way to everybody. I've just given you an example of my sister and I, as you'd imagine. So your mom might be this way to you. She might see you as trouble, but she doesn't see her grandson as trouble. She might even be bragging about him in her closet, and we won't even know. She might be stalking you up just to see how he looks like, and be wishing, oh, if my grandson can just say hello to me, maybe that would be the opening door. This might, we don't know that information, but because sometimes we're hurting, we block all corners. And that's that part that God doesn't really like.
Well, so for me, because I'm always open and honest with my audience, for me, when it comes to my mom, I didn't make the decision for her not to have a relationship with my son. But I had to honor it when it happened, because if she is unable to love me, the chances of her loving my child is not as high. But I still gave her a pass.
Yeah,
I gave her a pass. I used to drive my son to my mom's house. I used to spend days there, nights there. I used to cook, clean, go grocery. I used to do everything because I didn't want my son to not have a relationship with my mother because of me. Okay. But my mother has not made an attempt. If I don't go, she doesn't call, she doesn't see, she doesn't care, she doesn't want to know, she doesn't check, nothing. And I cannot have that inconsistency where I'm teaching my son that he has to earn her love, to constantly be going over there, to constantly be reaching out to her, because that does something to a person. It makes them feel like they're not enough. And that message, I will not send that message to my son.
So okay, not for the second time. Yeah.
Yes, because of that, I had to remove my kids from that. And a lot of stories that I have read, a lot of women are experiencing this tremendously, where their mothers really, so you mentioned something where you said, when someone is angry or they don't like someone or they don't like something, they want the whole congregation to be a part of their feelings and agree and treat the person that way. That is what we call a narcissist. And the people around them, they call them a scapegoat. So they use them. So if I don't like a person and I have B, C, D, and everybody else around me, I'm gonna make sure that they don't like her because I want them to get to understand my narrative and follow my narrative.
Yeah,
okay. And a lot of motherless daughters experience this tremendously because the community dismisses them. The community tells them that, oh, it's not that big of a deal. The community, you know, whether it's the community or sometimes it's the father that is dismissive, sometimes it's the family members or sometimes it's the siblings. So this is not just like, it runs so deep. It is so bad. It's awful. And a lot of women are so toxic out there because no one had the courage to change the generational cycle. So it continues and it keeps going on and on and on. And we have all these toxic women out there that don't know how to love, don't know how to be kind, don't know how to be supportive, don't know how to be anything other than toxic, other than just evil and mean. And there are motherless daughters that are like that because they have this pain, they have this trauma that they're not working. They're not, where they're going to God. For me, I had to go to God and I had to go to therapy because my mother's family told me that they wish my mother would have aborted my pregnancy. Where do you want me to go with that?
Wow.
How can I build a relationship with a family that wishes I wasn't even here?
It's
so hard for people to connect. It's so hard because a lot of motherless daughters, to be honest, they have tried so much. They have given everything they got to have a relationship with their mothers. When I tell you they have countless, effortlessly. It's not that we don't want to have mommies.
True.
It's not that we don't want to be connected. We don't want to have a relationship with them. But how can you turn your face to someone that's constantly giving you their back?
Okay. So I wanted to say something. Okay. What I noticed, I also do a lot of talking to people in my own community. And I think that one of the reasons why these narcissists or mothers who have gone through this pattern, why they're not able to come to terms is sometimes the spirit of pride and ego.
Ugh.
And the spirit of pride and ego, these are strong spirits. They're strong spirits. They're not spirits that... You know, that's why the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. These spirits are very territorially strong, and they're strongholds that when they come to a person, it takes deliverance, it takes the Holy Spirit to take that spirit out. You would not imagine for some of these parents, if you go closer to them and say, why are you the way you are? Why are you mean? Why are you a narcissist? Why don't you love your child? You'll be very surprised to know that it's not like they don't really love you deep down, but that ego of, I've done this, a lot of time has passed, I would rather die than make peace. It's just that. I would rather be the way that I am than for people to laugh at me. I would rather remain on my own than for me to explain to my child because I don't have any reason. It's more about that. It's more of the spirit. And so for every time, if you are that motherless child who really wants to connect with your parents, you'd have to always pray the right prayer. Give the person the ability, God, give the person the ability to remove the spirit of ego and pride. You would have to pray that prayer for them because once you're praying that prayer, after a certain time, their heart that is hardened, because the spirit of pride and ego, one of the things it does is to harden one's heart. And when somebody's heart is hardened, even though you know, because what happens spiritually when your heart is hardened, okay, in the physical, you know something, but you're not thinking about it the right way. And so somebody's talking to you, but you're hearing something else. Hey, mommy, I love you, but you're hearing, oh, I don't love you. That's what you're hearing. And so once the spirit of pride and ego is taking off someone, it becomes easy for the person to be broken. It becomes easy for them to be broken. So I really feel, I understand your story. I feel so bad, you know, that anyone would go through wanting someone and they're not wanting you. I've felt it before, maybe not with my mother, but in other relationships. And I understand what it feels like, but there is nothing that you can do. It's not about you.
Okay.
It's established that it's not about you. The only thing that you can do, according to what God has said you should do, is to pray for the person. But you have to pray the right prayers. The spirit of ego, the spirit of pride, leave this person. Allow this person the ability to have a contrite spirit where he's able to sit down and say, oh, I know I've messed up. I can just say sorry to my daughter. At least, if not for anything, before I die. Because some of them will take that to their grave. They will say, I would rather, I had a friend who had this kind of relationship, okay? And her mom, it's not just with her mom, but with her mom and her dad. And you know the fact, the mom is dying, the parents are dying, okay? They don't want to see her, but they want her to pay the hospital bills. You don't want me, but you want my money. You want me to pay the bills. And she couldn't understand. I'm like, just do it. Just you thank God you have the ability to do it. Thank God. Because if you don't do it, you're repeating, you're giving the enemy the stronghold to repeat the cycle. So you're becoming like them. If you have that, if you don't have it, you're not going to go out of your way. But thank God that you have the ability to, for you, that will be a test God is giving to you to see if you actually obey his word. And I said, for if you have the ability, why not? You would have done it for anybody else. So why are you insisting you won't do for your own? Even though they're mean to you, you will not believe it till death. She wasn't able to reconcile with her parents, but she footed the bills and she paid for the burial. She flew them from America to Nigeria, all with her money, for people who didn't give her any sort of love. There's nothing more painful than that, but I thank God for the kind of spirit and the kind of surrounding the people should, because that's something that also helps as well. When you surround yourself with people that have a positive energy, it helps you out. For me, I'm happy where she is. She has peace of mind. Okay. Nobody can fault her spiritually or physically to say, oh, this child is a bad child. No, nobody can do that to her. And so that's that inner peace. And then you make sure that you are never like them in any way. Because the anger can make you repeat the cycle. The anger of, oh, they were like that, you have children and everything. And she kind of blamed them for everything. She's not married. She feels it's because of their way. It's so deep. But the only way that I think that the hurting can stop is, number one, drawing close to God and trying to do your best to obey what God says. And that's loving these people unconditionally. Regardless.
I will hope that she gets to go to therapy and do some work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God created therapists for a reason. Because sometimes, you know, someone has a little bit more knowledge to help you get through the process. I mean, that is a beautiful thing that your thought process is like that. And I wish it was like that for everyone.
Fortunately,
it's not like that because sometimes some of the pain, they run so deep that I was watching my 600-pound life. I don't know if you guys get that in France, but it is about people that have trauma, that have, you know, unhealed trauma. And now they have... They eat. And now they're 600.
Oh, yeah. I know that for them. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like from all of that. So it can be something. It can be something. And I hope that some people get your message and they are willing to do the change. I know I had to take care of my mom when she had cancer. I had to help her. I didn't fully take care of her, but I had to help her to the best of my abilities, emotionally, mentally, and financially.
Exactly.
I didn't do everything. But I did that. It was a very hard process. It's hard to be around somebody that you know don't really care about you.
But
you have to take care of them and you have to do what you can.
Yeah.
But for me, I have no regrets. I have forgiven my mom. If she decides that she wants to have a relationship with me, I hope that God will give me the courage to have a relationship with her, because as for me, I really don't want her in my space because she was very toxic and very negative. Yeah. So this has been a very good conversation. You're going to get, let me tell you something, you, because my audience, they're going to come for you. You're going to get, you're going to be like, this is so amazing. You're going to get people be like, how dare she?
Oh no, for me, I'm okay with like I said to you, the way that I built it in a way whereby it's from a place of love. I'm serving people from a place of love regardless. So I understand everybody. So if you notice, I always try to meet people in the middle. I'm not coming on strongly to say, oh, my way is the best way, because I've been in your shoes. It might not be my mom, it might be my relationship, you know. So I understand, and I know that for everybody is different. But I'm saying to you, to anybody who wants to hear, even if it's one person, okay, for you to free yourself, what you really need to do, if you really need to free yourself, is to go to God and say, God, give me the grace, give me the strength, help me to forgive this person. And in doing so,
I also pray for this person that the spirit of pride and the spirit of ego leaves them. Because that's when they can even realize, that's when their heart that has been hardened can be shattered. For them to realize, oh, I've done this thing. Look, if you do an interview for all of you, to all of your audience, okay? What they all yearn for deep down in them is for that person who's hurt them to come to them and say, I am sorry I hurt you. But because it's never coming, you can't seem to want to forgive the person. If your mom comes to you today and says, I'm sorry, Zainab, I'm sorry, she does it for like a month. Trust me, Zainab, you will find a way to forgive her somehow. Because deep down inside of you, something yearns for that love. And that's why sometimes we question God and say, God, why me? What did I do as a child? What did I do to earn all those things? And when we ask God all of these funny questions, okay, sometimes I try to understand and say, okay, let's say I was in God's position. That's why God didn't make a mistake to say that our love should be unconditional. Because he knew that situations like this will happen. He knew that there are people that never say sorry. We're talking about our mothers and our fathers. How about if it was your spouse doing the same thing? It's the same. Mother and father is even easy. If it's your spouse doing this to you, that it will even break you more. Mother and father, you know that, okay, after I'm 22 or 21, sometimes you orchestrate yourself to leave the house early. That's why you see people who have been in toxic relationships take decisions like getting pregnant, all because they want to leave that space. So mother and child is easier. Imagine this is your spouse where you have to live with that. You're expected to live with that person all the rest of your life. And this person is toxic. What about that? How do you forgive that person? How do you do that? You have children with this person. How do you do that? The person constantly makes you feel bad, makes you feel less of yourself. And so many women are going through this stuff. So many, not just from the motherless side of the view, but from the relationship part. And these things happen because those people also have those things as their narratives. And that's why a spouse can be like that. They have it in their narratives. If we do the research, we break down. They themselves have been in toxic relationships, and so they don't know any better. And what makes people be toxic? There's lack of trust. They didn't have life in the better way. These are the things. These are the root causes. Sometimes it's easy for us to look at things from above, but when we dissect the root causes, trust issue is one of those things. Repeated patterns and cycles, generational repeated cycles. Oh, your father did this. You hear people say, oh, this person didn't do a birthday for me. So just imagine me telling my kids, I'm not going to do birthday parties for you because when I was 10 years old, my mom beat me and I didn't. And that's what I remember. Some people are like that. Some people will say, oh, my mom carried 5 children, so you have to have 5 children. Or my mom did this, and so you have to do this. These are some of the narratives of people. So this pain, okay, it's on so many levels. It's not just on, oh, motherless children or fatherless children. But if you don't take, if your viewers don't take anything from what I say, the one thing they should take, okay, is at all times, you must make a conscious decision to say, I must be better than my parents. I must be better than whoever it is that is making me make the decision to be in a toxic relationship or to be angry for whatever reason. You must be better than that situation. And once you make this decision, you'll have a healthy life. It won't be easy. It will not be easy, but you will end up having a healthy life.
I totally get what you're saying. It's like you're literally trying to empower them to take their power back, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you're empowering them to say, I can be better. I can do better despite everything that has happened to me. Exactly. Whether I decide to have a relationship with my mother or not. Because yes. If I don't heal that aspect of me, I'm going to pick a guy or a girl or someone that's just like them. That's what exactly. I'm understanding what you're saying, right?
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to just put it all out there, but that's exactly what I'm saying. Don't give toxic people all of the permission to weigh you down. Some of these people, you see motherless children, they feel less of themselves. They don't think they can be CEOs. They don't think they can be entrepreneurs. They feel, even when they go in life, they start becoming, I spoke to a lady who is a motherless child that's had problems, okay? And she kept telling me, I don't know how to do anything. The person who's talking, okay, she had more followers than I did. She's so loving on her Facebook page. I could see that she had engagement, but she didn't know how to do it because I'm a digital marketing strategist. But she kept saying, I don't know. I said, okay, for starters, let me bust your bubble. You are a better influencer than I am. She was shocked. I said, trust me, if I run a Facebook ad right now as a digital marketing strategist and you run the same ad, you'd have more people coming to you because you're naturally a likable person. You don't know what to do, but you have this kind of engagement. So let's put it to use. Some of them don't even know the powers that they have. And that's because they so listen to, why are they putting all of these things in their cerebellum? These things store in your brain because this is what you've been told. And so for me, I'm saying, don't give anybody, have zero tolerance to negativity, negative energy, bad spoken words about you, about your future. Have zero tolerance for it. Take back your life. Command your life. Tell yourself, I will choose to be better than this person. It's my goal. I always say that to my children. I taught my daughter how to do digital marketing things. So now she does like animations and all of those kind of things. And every day my daughter will come to me, she's 10. She'll say, Mom, do you know I'm better than you right now? You know, I can do Powtoon, I can do Filmora. And I say to her, my darling, that's the plan. The plan is for you to be better than I in every ramification. Do more things, excel. I don't want you to be less. I don't want you to be equal. I want you to be better. So when I go out there and people see me, they say, oh, Martina, you're not beautiful. Oh, but you can't say that about my child because my child knows better. So you've told me, oh, you're so fat. You have big stomach. But my child knows better. She knows not to tolerate that. And so you're telling my child, oh, you're this. She says, I'm not that in Jesus' name. She's already saying that from small. So I have the full restful confidence that when she's big, no man can do that to her. When she's big, she won't permit that from anybody. You tell her she's a liar. She says, I'm not a liar in Jesus' name. We don't permit, don't have zero tolerance for anything negativity. Build yourself back. The best way to revenge with all of these people is to be a better person. Just imagine if your mom was sitting at the park, okay, one day, and she sees you and your son, and you're all playing with your son, having a picnic with him, he's taking your photographs. You know how envious she'll be of you? You know how that would eat her so deeply, whether she says it or not? Trust me, she'll go home and she will cry. Some of these narcissists, they don't cry out, but they cry all the time. They're in more deeper pain than you are. The only difference is they have the spirit of ego and the spirit of pride that doesn't allow their heart to be humble. But she would cry to say, oh, I never had that with my child. Look at how beautiful. Because the plan is the enemy wants you to toe in the same line with what she has done. And most probably, maybe you two had your child when you were young, and she's thinking, okay, yeah, she's like me, she did the same thing. But the difference is you are better. You have a relationship with your child. And so that will flog her and eat her so deeply. And that's the plan. If you don't take anything from the conversation, take the part that you need to be better. And in order to be better, you'd have to run to God. Because it's not by our might, it's not our power. It's not our intelligence. It's the grace of God that enables one to be whatever he says you will be. And that's what I can really say to encourage women out there who are really hurting. So it don't matter if they come to me, but this is what I will say to them. This is really what I can say to them.
Absolutely. And again, I definitely understand everything that you're saying. And as I'm listening to it, all I'm thinking about is all some of the changes that I need to make, not necessarily with my mother, because I've done everything that I can on that area.
Yeah.
And I'm content with that. But just in life, because sometimes, you know, as someone that didn't get that mentorship from a woman that is supposed to love me, it can be really hard to maneuver in life. True. To make moves and do things because that self-esteem is not there. That belief that I can be and I can do is not there. And it is such a struggle on a daily basis. What comes natural for you does not come natural for me. I have to have those positive self-talk and push myself. I call friends and I'm like, my gosh, this podcast, sometimes I think I put too much on my plate. I think I this, I think I'm that. I don't know where it's going to go. What am I doing? And then those same people be like, are you kidding me?
You're doing well.
You're doing well. But sometimes it's hard for me to see it because I'm so used to criticizing myself because of what my childhood was like. My childhood was filled with a lot of criticism, with a lot of negativity. So my default in my mind is just,
I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Who's going to like me? Who's going to choose this? Who's going to listen? Who's going to watch? Even though season one, a lot of people listen.
Wow.
But yet still, I'm telling myself that. So it's, you know, I definitely, when you talked about the person that contacted you on Facebook, that was a real eye-opener for me. Just hearing that, you know, I need to work on changing the narrative and the self-talk. So I'm just going to have you just tell the people what you do, the name of your business, and, you know, how they can contact you.
Okay, so as you know, I'm Martina Onanuwu. I'm a business growth and a digital marketing strategist. I help entrepreneurs and I help companies with their digital marketing strategies. I help you with your plan to plan, strategize, and to grow your business. So whether it's SEO, whether it's social media management, how to monetize your social platforms. Yeah, the women listening, you can position yourself using social media to make money with the skills that you have. I help you to position yourself. I teach you how to make money from all of the platforms. All platforms can give you money. LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Every of those platforms are money-making machines, and all you need to do is put yourself out there and be consistent, give value, and money will come back your way. So this is part of the things that I do. I do trainings, you know, on customer service excellence, and these are some of the things that I do. I work remotely, so I can work with you whether you're in the US or anywhere. I can help you do this comfortably. I also work as a virtual assistant as well. The name of my business is Ronsted Services, so I'm running constant but progressive. For me, the idea is to actually tell women that once you build a solid foundation for anything, you're going to run stead. You start it up and you never go back the way you used to be. You go slowly but surely. I don't promise you 10 figures, 8 figures, because those things are subjective. But I guarantee you, if you work with me, you will run constant and progressive. So you're going from one level to the next level, to the next level, but you will never fall. And if you fall, you know how to stand up without beating yourself or batting an eyelid. And these are my forte. This is what I do. I help you with your business plan, structuring things, and I set people from a place of love. Okay, so you can always come to me. My handles are at Martina Ronsted. So it's M for Mike, A for Alpha, R for Romeo, R for Romeo, T for Tango, E for I. Sorry, I'm saying it in French. Can I do it again? Martina Ronsted.
Don't even worry. I'm going to put all of it. I'll put it in the podcast description.
Yeah, you can find me on Martina Ronsted. On LinkedIn, you can find me with my name, Martina Onanuwu. And be breezy. That's how you can find me. I'm here and I'm a click away from you digitally.
One more thing before you go. What is your one word of encouragement to my motherless daughters? Your one word of encouragement.
One word or one sentence. Okay. For me, okay. To the motherless children, always know that there is a God. Okay. There is a God and he loves you unconditionally. And you can go to him whenever, and he will never fail you. That's all I can say to you. He will never fail you. There is a God, you can go to him. He loves you unconditionally
and he will never fail you. That I guarantee you. If you ever go to God and it seemed like he failed you, come back to me and say, Martina, you're a liar. But I've tested him and he never fails. I can guarantee you that. That's what I would say to you. And I wish you guys all of the best. You can do it. You will be good. And life will be good for you if you just put your mind to it. It's more than one word, but I think somebody needs to hear.
I think your one word is God. That's your one word. Is
yes,
God.
One word.
Surrounding it. Yes, yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. We didn't even get to talk about how you started your business. We might have to do this again. We might have to do it again to just empower people on how to start a business and how to go about, you know, having that courage to be consistent.
Oh, I can just tell them in 1 minute, okay? Start with whatever skill that you have. If you love to write, start it from your house, start using social media, and that's it. Don't bother about being perfect. Just be consistent. Be your truth. Just demonstrate, show your truth, and that's it. You don't need the fancy lies. You don't need to do social media ads. Just start the way you are. People will come to you. So I started with just putting out videos on Facebook, saying my truth, telling people how I feel. And someone will say, oh, Martina, I can relate to what you're saying. How can you help me? And I say, look, if I have to talk to you for 2 hours or 3 hours, it's a lot of time. But if you pay me so amount, I can talk to you for 3 hours. That's how it started. And I started to get from one customer to two customers. And you know what? I said, you know what? Let me be a business consultant because I see this is really working out fine. I go, I do a certification course. You don't even need to go to school. People will love you. You don't need 100 followers. I tell people, you're better off having 3 followers on your page and 2 of them are your clients than having 100,000 people and you can't even get 100 people to work with you. So start with whatever skill you have. And trust me, don't embarrass God by saying you don't have any skill. It's a slap on his face. Everybody has a skill. Look for it, it's there. I give you an example. Do you know there's someone on Udemy that sells courses on how to do cricket soup, cricket and frog soup? And the cost is $20. That's how stupid of a skill you can make money with, the stupidest skill. Not to talk of the one that God has given to you. If people are learning how to make frog soup, you know that that person has 1% of the Japanese or the Asians being the customer. And people are buying the course, you know. And I saw, I think it's on Udemy or Teachable. I can't remember where I saw it. But I saw that 1,001, so it shows you like who has ordered the course. And I saw that 1,001, I'm like, I did the calculation because I'm always doing the math. 1,000 people times $20, that's what this person has made for cricket soup and frog soup. Wow, really? That's the truth. So you can make money from any skills. And God gave everybody important skills and we should make good use of it. So that's what I can say.
That is true. That is absolutely true. So guys, what she's saying, Martina is saying that you have a talent. Don't just let it just lay there. Access your talent.
Yeah.
Yes. And don't embarrass God by not accessing your talent and saying he can give you something.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all love from me. All love, my dear.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. If you love this episode, please, please, please share it with someone in need of healing. Share it on all social media platforms or just plain old text messages, okay? Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook support group page, and subscribe to the YouTube channel at The Zainab Kanous Show. Thank you for all the love and support. Until next time, be so good, be so kind, be so patient, and be so loving to yourself.